What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. Lord's Supper hymn, The Infant Priest. Last time in our series on the words of Scripture, we talked about temple, tabernacle, tent. We did not talk about the men that God appointed to serve there in the Holy of Holies, these priests. Of course, there are some mysteries in the Bible about priests. There's Melchizedek in the Old Testament, who shows up before God, has any of those things in place. He's called a king and a priest. How are those two related? And then, of course, there is what the book of Hebrews does with Jesus, saying he is the great high priest, the final high priest. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our series, The Words of Scripture, continues. We're going to talk about the word priest today in the Old Testament. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. And he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
For many people, the word priest simply means what the Roman Catholics call their pastor.
Their father. Yeah, their fathers. Yeah, and you could see why they would think that is indeed a very common use. It's not exclusively Roman Catholic, though, of course. Ancient Lutherans used to use it. And in fact, it's still quite common in Scandinavia, especially in Sweden, to refer to priests. And the Lutherans kept referring to it that way in their Lutheran church orders for a couple hundred centuries after the Reformation. It would say, you know, the priest turns this way, the priest turns that way, the priest says this, the priest says that. So they weren't allergic to the term at all, but it wasn't the most popular one among them. And of course, the Anglicans use it, the Orthodox use it. It's not just a Roman Catholic term. But all of those terms are really priest as presbyter. Priest is like a shrinking down of the word presbyter in English. The word priest we're using here, as we're going to be studying it in the Bible, is a different word. You know, Kohen in the Hebrew and Hieros in the New Testament. It's not the same as what we just happen to have this one word, English word priest, that actually reaches out and covers the whole gamut. But it's a different term. In the New Testament, Hieros is priest, as in what we're going to be studying and looking at today. In the New Testament, presbyter, that's the word that gets translated some places. I think the Douay Rheims did it as priest. That's the one from which we get the term for the guy who is the minister in the church as priest.
I mean, after all, people talk about Buddhist priests.
Right.
What they mean.
It's a general term, right.
It's very broad, and it simply means clergy in some sense.
Yeah, we're going to talk about why. I mean, it's a broad term that is absolutely bigger than simply Christianity or Judaism. So digging into that will be up. And the scriptures bear witness to that, as we're going to see as we go through.
So you wanted to begin with Dr. Luther and his comment on the term as a way of getting us off on the right foot.
Yeah. Because he's commenting here on Melchizedek. He's in Genesis 14. We're going to deal with that passage in detail in just a bit. But at the beginning, I just love his comment here where he says, priest, is a strong and lovely word. There is no lovelier or sweeter name on earth. It is much better to hear that Christ is called priest than Lord or any other name. Priesthood is a spiritual power, which means no other than that the priest steps forth and takes all the iniquities of the people upon himself as though they were his very own. He intercedes with God for them and receives from him the word with which he can comfort and help the people. Christ offered himself once for all so that he is himself both priest and sacrifice, and the altar is the cross. No more perfect sacrifice could he offer to God than that he gave himself to be slain and consumed in the fire of love. That is the true sacrifice. So if you kind of unpack what Luther's just gone on about there, you see that he sees in a priest three essential things. A priest offers sacrifice, a priest intercedes, and a priest instructs. And I think we're going to see those three things sort of hold through the scriptural witness here. But can we move to Genesis 1 and 2 and talk about that? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right. You might be thinking to yourself, wait a minute. Genesis 1 and 2 don't say anything about priests, do they? I don't remember seeing the word there. You're right. The word first appears in Genesis 14. And it's always important to check when a word first appears in Genesis. That's, it's the book of the beginnings and also the beginnings of how God's people use language according to the word of God. But Genesis 1 and 2, I think, offer us a real good idea about what I might call primal priesthood. The creation itself, remember, is God's temple. He walks around in it. And I would argue that man is created to be the priest of creation. So, Todd, have you ever wondered, how did Adam learn how to talk?
I've never considered that question before.
Well, when we think about it, I think it comes down to this, right? The only way any human being learns to talk is if someone talks to them, right? We learn language from another. So I think it's in God's talking to him that he actually begins to learn to talk back and to extend language beyond just the conversation with him and God out into creation. So I think that might be what's going on in the naming thing in Genesis, where language is a way Adam then connected the creation to the Creator. And he's the priest then who learns to speak from God by referring creation itself back to him to experience it in wonder, in awe, in his presence as the gift that is his. I mean, I have no idea what Adam would have called a kangaroo. But isn't there something delightful about him watching the hopping, bounding creature which God brought to him and them speaking the name? God presents the critters to Adam, his king and his priest upon earth, and Adam declares to them what they are. Listen to how it's put. The Lord God brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living thing, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And you know how that God provides the helpmeet. And Adam, what does he do when he first receives Eve? He cries out, "This now is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called," naming her, "Isha, woman, because she came out of Ish, out of man." So his kingship is shown in the dominion given to him over the creation, but I maintain his primal priesthood is shown in this meaning, in taking the creation and referring it back to God, to the giver, in the name. And I think this is the essential move of the priest that remains constant in Scripture. He is the one who is called to offer back to God that of which God is the primary and initial giver. And I think that this really gives us a lot of light on the fall itself. What happened in the fall is that mankind as a whole ceased to be priest. He ceased to refer creation back to the Creator, and then instead it became filled with individual isolated stuff that he wasn't sure how it related. Instead of receiving it as a gift from the hand of the loving Father, God being the source of the unity of the whole thing, it became then instead fuel and weapon and threat to him.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's our series on the words of Scripture today, Priest in the Old Testament. I'd like him to elaborate on that idea, way of talking about the fall into sin as man ceasing to be priest. What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. book of the month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans, Children of the Light. Welcome the week. Forgo judgment, the kingdom of God, and whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Independent and in the black for 12 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Learn and grow with us at Redeemer Lutheran Church, 7670 East Jomax Road, Scottsdale, Arizona. The gifts of Christ are received every Lord's Day in the 9 a.m. Divine Service. Confessional, Evangelical, Sacramental, Liturgical. Lutheranism the way it used to be. Lutheranism the way it can be once again. If you're in Scottsdale or in the Phoenix metro region, we'd love to have you visit. And please also visit our website, RedeemerScottsdale.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the word priest in the Old Testament with Pastor Will Wheaton. He hosts a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Wheaton is wrapping up a study on the book of Romans, and he'll begin a study July 22nd on Matthew's Gospel. Listen at thewordendures.org, on the LPR app, or on your favorite podcast provider. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. Will, I'd like you to elaborate on something you said before the break, and that is ceasing to be a priest as a way of talking about the fall into sin.
Well, he could only offer thanksgiving for what he had been given. That is to rejoice in the thing as God gave it to him, right? So he reaches out and takes the only thing in all of the world for which he cannot give thanks.
The only thing that God had not given.
The only gift that God had not given, and we could even add, had not given yet, right? And by taking what God had not given, he plunged himself and the world into this thanklessness that does not receive and refer what the creation is back to God by saying, "This is your gift to me." You know, it's why when we start teaching our children how to pray at the table, you know, that scripture passage is trotted out over and over again. The eyes of all look to you, O Lord, and you give them their food at the proper. You are the source. It all comes from you. And man is blind to this. He's blind to the recognition. I mean, so you can now talk of people being, we need more gratitude in our lives. You know, it's like, Yes, yes, we do. But gratitude to whom? You have to know who you are thanking, right? But modern man, especially, you know, the one who buys into the current evolutionary theory, doesn't believe that there is anybody to be thankful to.
Along with that fruit that God had not given is something of God's image that God had also not given man. Is it a lie when the devil says you will become like God? Well, when they eat of the fruit, God says now they have become like us.
Yeah, they become like us.
In a way that God never intended.
In a way that God had not intended them to be. Because now all of a sudden they are trying to understand and know things out from themselves directly in a way that no creature can. Only God can.
So it's the priest, mediator between God and creation, who decides to usurp God's place and have an immediate relationship with creation.
With creation, having, instead of receiving it from the hand of God to give it back to him, he instead grabs a hold of it and would know it directly. And all that results in is sin and shame and fear and death.
So that's why it's called the tree of knowledge.
Knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, and you get to know yourself that way. And he's like, yeah, you know yourself in a very bad way at that moment. And I think that once we see that creation ceases to be then the gift of communion with God, then there arises still among people these things called priests, right? We use that generic term. I don't think you'd be amiss to almost hear that in its really foundational old sense as holy man, shaman, medicine man. What is it these people do? They have this ability, it seems transcultural phenomenon, of seeing that they seem to remember and connect the creation back to the creator in a way that proves helpful and healing and wholesome to other people. And so in the scriptures themselves, they seem to show up like this. And granted, the first one we're going to look at, very, very different. And you could expect that because the first time you meet a priest in scripture where the title is used, the priest coin is used, is in Genesis 14 in that book of beginnings. And maybe we should turn to that now and see if that can help further explicate this whole thing. But we're going to see before we're out of Torah that these other priests are mentioned without any kind of explanation. They're just sort of there, okay? So Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he, that is Abraham, gave him, that is Melchizedek, tithes of all. Well, you know the hay that is made of this verse later. But for now, what we just want to notice is that he's called both king and priest. And that's what I think is this twofold move that you have in Genesis 1 and 2, that Adam is, he's king, he's given dominion over the creation, and he's priest in relating the creation back to God. He's both king and priest. And so this Melchizedek shows up, and as the priest of the Most High God, El Elyon, and Salem, is that, you can't help but hear Jerusalem, he brings forth bread and wine and offers these as he blesses El Elyon, God Most High, the one whose is heaven and earth, all of creation. And he blesses the Most High God for the deliverance over the enemies, which has just been granted to Abraham and his household in rescuing Lot and coincidentally doing good to the even the wicked king of Sodom. And this offering of communion with God over bread and wine that have been blessed, that over which God has been blessed, moves Abram to get in on the sacrificial action. He ends up giving, right? So he wants to give to the priest. He wants to take of the created stuff that he's been here just blessed with now, and he gives a tenth of it to the priest. Hebrews is going to make a whole lot out of this incident, as we'll hear when we get to the New Testament. But for now, we just want to note that this mysterious man just kind of appears in Genesis 14, and he instantly disappears, and yet he is named the priest of the living God, the Most High God, and he receives tithes, and yet Torah, the first five books, say nothing more at all about him. It's just kind of like, it's like, whoa, what was that?
Which is why he's a man without a beginning and an end.
Hebrews is, like I said, Hebrews is going to have a lot of fun with that. He's not the only priest you meet, though, in Torah. The next one you meet is actually in the Joseph cycle. Do you remember this? Joseph had been released from prison. And after being exalted by Pharaoh, we read in Genesis 41, verse 45, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. So I think this maybe indicates, why would Pharaoh give him that, the priest's daughter, to wife? I think it's because Pharaoh probably saw and thought of Joseph, because of his ability to interpret dreams, as a priest of sorts. And remember, in the course of the taxation which Joseph levied, the priest's land did not come into Pharaoh's control, because they had an allowance from Pharaoh on which they lived. So, you know, scripture doesn't say anything about Joseph's father-in-law other than that he was this priest of On, a town in Egypt. His name means Potipharah, the gift of Ra. But man, isn't that name suspiciously like the name of the man he used to serve, Potiphar? Potiphar, you know, it's the same name with Ra thrown on at the end. So it's just like the Egyptians had priests. Okay, they had these holy men, and they had a special place in their society. And somehow or other, I think Pharaoh classed Joseph as, well, he kind of belongs with those guys. The next one to show up in a non-Israelite context, again, is Exodus 2. This one is the one I find absolutely most fascinating. Exodus 2, verses 16 to 21. Listen. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled troughs to water their father's flock, and the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, who is also called Jethro, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I've been a stranger in a strange land." So think about this, Todd. Both Joseph and Moses have father-in-laws who are priests. And additionally, both name their children with names expressing their alienation and exile from their home and the consolation they've received from God when he sort of reconnects them. So this same guy shows up again in Exodus 18, and here's where it gets really, really interesting. Verse 18, verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the names of the one was Gershom, for he said, "I have been an alien in a strange land," and the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, he said, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said to Moses, "I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee and thy wife with her two sons with me." And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness that the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, blessed be Yahweh, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who hath delivered the peoples from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Yahweh, the Lord, is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So even though Jethro was a Midianite and a priest, he apparently maintained the faith that Abraham, his ancestor, had taught. I mean, Midian, remember, is actually the name of one of Abraham's sons by Keturah. So a Midianite is a descendant of Abraham, but from the wife that he took after Sarah had died. And he sent all of them away so that they would not be raised with Isaac. But apparently before he sent them away, he taught them about the true God. And so Moses recognizes Midian's worship as being, can I put it like this? Orthodox worship of the true God. So he offers sacrifice and Moses shares in it with him, as I suppose he did before he had the experience on the Mount Horeb and was sent into Egypt. So this priest confessed that God had done great things for Israel, and he rejoices in this God who is greater than all gods. That is, he acknowledges Yahweh. He's the real deal. He's the only one that's worth being a priest of.
Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. It's our series, The Words of Scripture, today, the word priest in the Old Testament. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this spontaneous priesthood.
The COVID-19 pandemic has caused many Christians to ask about whether or not the government should be telling the church when and how to gather around our Lord's gifts. In the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Christopher Thoma takes up this question in his article titled, Executive Orders, Divine Command. To read this excellent article and more about the church's life in the midst of a pandemic, subscribe to the Lutheran Witness today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota, Pilgrim Lutheran, Kilgore, Texas, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Rathdrum, Idaho, St. Matthew Lutheran, Hawthorne Woods, Illinois, the Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California, and Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We're talking about the word priest in our series, The Words of Scripture. So, Will, these priests that come along before the priesthood, are we talking about a spontaneous priesthood that grows out of the propagation of the faith?
Yeah, I honestly think that that's what you encounter in these earlier priests, is that, and this is what you encounter worldwide with the so-called holy men or whatever, that you recognize that there are these people that seem to just be, they have this soothing, calming presence that has the ability to, where they open up your mind with wisdom, and they connect you to your place in the world. And specifically to your place before God. I'm not saying that all Hindu priests and all, you know, American Indian shamans, that they're all doing that to the living God. I'm saying that the phenomenon that people experience from them has, this similarity that they feel.
It's a like counterfeit. It's a counterfeit.
It's a counterfeit
to a true priest.
To a true priest who can, you know, it's not going to work unless the connection is to the real Creator of heaven and of earth.
But boy, are they trying.
They're trying, right. Just recognizing that it is this universal phenomenon, which the Bible, as I think we've seen now, very clearly attests. But that's all going to change. And it's going to change in a way that's going to have implications. So in Exodus 28, God basically institutes a priesthood for the first time among his own people. That is that there would be special people who would be priests. So Exodus 28, boy, this is a long section. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. I love that. In the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Again, you see, the priest deals with God, right? The king deals with the creation. The priest deals with God, offering the creation back to God. And the priest is supposed to do this dressed in a fancy way. You know, here's the description, verse 4, and these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broidered coat, a mitre and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother and his sons, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. He's saying it one more time. They shall take the gold, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fine linen. They shall make the ephod of gold, blue, and of purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. The shoulder pieces. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on in detail about how the priest is supposed to be vested, even to the point of their underwear. You know, what kind of undergarments are they supposed to be wearing? They can't be wool. And so it's all laid out that this is how I want them to be ministering to me and serving me. And this is how I would have them do it. And remember when Aaron's kids thought, this is fun, Dad. I kind of like it. Let's see what happens if we just go in and do this. And they played with the incense. They offered what's called unauthorized fire. And what happened? They found out this is not a plaything. They both died there before the Lord. I think the whole thing about the Raiders of the Lost Ark gets its picture from the how many times in the history of the Ark you have these moments, like with Nadab and Abihu, or like remember when the Ark was stumbling at the threshing floor and was Uriah reached out his hand to touch it, and you're not allowed to. It's supposed to be carried on your shoulders with these staves so that you do not touch it. So the priest, though, is the one who ministers there before that with the holy things dressed the way that God wants it, offering the offerings God himself has prescribed for them all. So the big thing here is the priest is then no longer, at this point in Israel, no longer just the holy man, the medicine man, or whatever you want to call it. You still have little traces of that. Remember in Judges, you know, the guy makes himself a priest for his house out of a Levite, which you can't do. But from this time forward, God is really establishing a priesthood that's going to offer these sacrifices. They have to be of the descendants of Aaron, this particular family. They are the only ones. And the whole story, I mean, he gives how they do it in Numbers, and he gives the whole story of how Israel had a really hard time that this one family should be the only one to do this in Numbers. Over and over and over again, Numbers is concerned to establish Aaron and his family are the ones I want to serve before me, them only. And so God sets up the entire procedure and made it be a hereditary office.
Is that a microcosm of how Israel, one family, mediates at this time before the entire creation? So that you have one family within Israel that is permitted to carry out these priestly duties.
For all, right. And indeed, Israel is the one who through whom blessing would come for all. And in fact, there's going to be even only one priest, finally, who will offer the actual only atoning sacrifice ever for all people.
When Jesus says salvation is from the Jews, he does not mean to say salvation is, because it is only from the Jews, he does not mean to say that salvation is only for
the Jews, right? No, from the Jews stresses, you know, your salvation. I am your only salvation. That's what that means, right? I come from the Jews and I am your only salvation. But now let's note it. Once it's hereditary, you got problems. It's hard to pass on the faith. Everybody knows this, right? What happens when the kids aren't faithful? So, I mean, there's a lot of other passages on, the Torah is complete, you know, it's just got tons of information on priests that we're not going to look at. I'm not going to go into the sacrifices. I'm not going to go into more details on the calendar and the vestments and all that stuff. What matters is God set this whole thing up and told them to do it. And really, when you start reading between the lines in Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 2 Samuel, and 1 Kings, it becomes really clear that they didn't do very well what God told them to do. And for a long time, idolatry keeps on creeping in, and they would keep the outward form going, but some basic unbelief slipped in. And you see this here in 1 Samuel 2. If we look at this, 1 Samuel 2, 12 to 17. Now, the sons of Belial, they knew not the Lord. In other words, they were sons of the snake, the devil. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man who sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for they abhorred the offering of the Lord. So this priesthood that had been passed down to the descendants of Aaron here, now Eli being one of them, came to be a class of people that, and they thought of, you know, that the offering was their right and due, is just how they lived their lives. This is my job. I have to offer these offerings and I'm going to do it my way. Totally discarding the actual instructions that the Lord gave. And the Lord never looks kindly on this. A little later in that same chapter, 1 Samuel 2, picking up verse 27, there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, and to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, those are the two faithless priests, in one day they shall die, both of them, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in mine mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, in one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. I mean, we could go on, Todd, tracing how that finds its fulfillment through the whole story with the Abiathar and Zadok and the time of David, and how, you know, the house of Eli basically is then wiped out from being priests before the Lord because of their faithfulness. But what's really fascinating is that line about, I'm going to raise up a faithful priest. It doesn't remind you of the promise to David. The only thing that holds me back from 100% saying that's just a reference to Christ is that he shall walk before mine anointed forever. But the idea that the priest is going to be perpetual in his priesthood does tie very much back to really the whole Melchizedek thing, which we're going to have to look at when we come to Psalm 110, which is the next one for us.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. It's our series, The Words of Scripture. Today, Priest in the Old Testament. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. These resources are published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. We will get to Psalm 110 and the reappearance of Melchizedek next. You can watch and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. All paid registrants will have the ability to watch the conference live and on demand. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified.
You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest in our series, The Words of Scripture. Today, the word is priest in the Old Testament. So you mentioned it before the break, Will. How does Melchizedek reappear in Psalm 110?
Right. So Psalm 110 is the key that picks up that little reference in Genesis 14, makes it huge, and ties it to Christ. So Psalm 110, verses 1 to 7, the Lord, that is Yahweh, said unto my Lord, my Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Here's the key words. Thou art a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek, the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore, shall he lift up his soul. So, you know from the opening verse there, the Lord said to my Lord, Jesus applies this, or at least strongly implies that he's applying it to himself in the last week of his life, right? The counter, remember the riddle he poses in Mark 12, verse 35 and following. He's asking them, so...
Who's he talking to?
Who's he talking to? How come David calls him... You know, my Lord, if he's David's son, how can the Christ be both David's son and David's Lord? And so he applies that to himself. That's the nearest he comes in his own speech to actually speaking of himself as priest directly. There's going to be some implied passages we'll look at. But at this point, though, there's really only one more piece to add from the Old Testament that I think we should bear in mind, and that's from Malachi 2 and verse 7. That the priest's lips should keep knowledge, they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So here, the people need to learn from the priest. Well, Dr. Kleinig would probably have yelled at me for not focusing a little bit on the big job of the priest was to teach the people to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, right, and the profane. So you had to know how these things were together. The priest taught the people, this is how you live in holiness with the holy, 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 so that he does not wipe you out. This is how you live with him as his people.
You've given us a lot to think about only in the Old Testament with regard to the word priest, but how would you summarize that for us?
I would summarize it by saying, remember that when we are created in the image and likeness of God, that Christ is that image and likeness. And therefore, if you want to understand what humanity was meant to be, we need to think out from Christ. And we know that Christ is given us to be both the king and the priest. He is the king. in regard to his relationship to all creation. He can say, right, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Doesn't matter where you go, I am the king. And similarly, he is going to be revealed as the one that all of these passages were really driving us toward. He is the one who is the priest. He's the one who takes the creation, literally, wholly, entirely, enters into it so that he can give it back to his Father, offering it back to his Father and us in it, all of it. And so when he does this act of offering back to the Father, he is showing us this is what God made humanity actually to be and to do. Again, not one person or another person that has this. Christ reveals that this is actually going to be the gift of God for all of his people. We, all of us, are meant to be kings and priests. We're going to see this in clarity when we work our way through the New Testament and how it teaches that the priesthood doesn't end with Christ. The priesthood extends itself to anyone who is in Christ, that we are called to offer sacrifice, to intercede, and to teach. This is just a pattern of the priesthood that shows people how we together relate the creation back to God in Jesus, because he is the priest, the high priest.
You had just mentioned again, sacrifice, intercession, teaching. There is the destruction of the temple that takes place in the Old Testament. Two of those can precede intercession and teaching, at least in an informal way. That's where the synagogue comes from. Mm-hmm. That's what they do there. They pray, they mm-hmm. teach. One of them can't without a temple standing. That kind of gets into our last conversation about tent and temple. Mm-hmm. What does that tell us about what God is preparing by way of the fulfillment of the sacrificial role that the priest has? Certainly, the teaching of God's word is constant. Abraham is teaching God's word. Abraham is praying. But the sacrifice being made impossible for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm hearing your in your question the suggestion that isn't that sort of almost, isn't the loss of the temple almost prophetic of the time that with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross, which he has offers as the priest, himself the sacrifice, all sacrifices then for atonement come to an end. There are no more sacrifices of atonement. And in fact, you know, if you really are reading carefully in Hebrews, it's very clear that all the previous sacrifices only, quote, worked, end quote, because they connected to that one sacrifice. That's how they worked, because they connected to the sacrifice of Christ. And they didn't, you know, the blood of goats and calves can't take away sin on its own. That what happens with that is the promise of the blood of Christ. So he offers the one sacrifice, and that does then cease. But what does not cease is that then his people become living sacrifices. So and they offer constant sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to God. So God's people will remain a priestly people, as we're going to go into the passages that line that out in detail next time.
Is that really then God through Christ getting us back to Adam and Eve before the fall, where now man himself can be a kingdom of priests, a king and a priest?
Yes.
All humanity as redeemed by Christ.
You know, what the original plan was comes to fruition in Christ, and in Christ then he lifts us up to that in a beautiful way.
Next time we will look at the word priest in the New Testament with Pastor Will Whedon. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he's host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll continue our Lutheran Confessions series, talking with Pastor Paul McCain about Christ's descent into hell and the solid declaration of the formula of Concord. Well, the great high priest, Jesus, has entered into the holy place bearing his own blood as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the world. That's what all of it was always pointing forward toward. It was always about dealing with this abrogation of man's priesthood there in the garden, the sin that became endemic to man. Jesus comes bearing none of his own sins, all of ours, and with his blood, he pays the price. I'm Todd Wilken. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.
In Christ, you are crowned with glory and honor, and the fullness of that glory and honor awaits you in heaven and in the resurrection of your flesh to life and immortality.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
To Him be all glory, honor, and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.